Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, and everyone cheers and claps and sings and wonders. They wonder, what on earth is happening? Is this the one? Is it really time for things to change? Hi, and welcome to St. Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart, and I get to be the minister here. Today, our preacher is Leslie Thompson. Leslie's a student on placement with us here at St. Ninian's at the moment. And I'll be reading and leading us in prayer later in our time together. Don't forget, you can find out all about who we are and what we do at our website at saint-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. And this week especially, you can find out all about our in-person Holy Week services, which are going to be at 7 p.m. at St. Ninian's on every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, and on Thursday we join our friends at Paterson United Free Church for communion on Monday, Thursday. But for now, let's listen for the word of God. Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, then 19 to 29. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfil what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on the colt the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
My name is Miriam. I come from Sepphoris in Galilee, where I live with my family. We're fish traders. It's a good life. Selling fish to the Romans turns a steady profit. The money is good. The weather is glorious. Rarely too hot or too cold. Our life is peaceful. We in Sepphoris know what's good for us. We're loyal to Rome, and Rome leaves us alone. Not like those mad fanatics in the hills. They'll get themselves killed one day, mark my words. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd love to see the back of those Romans as much as anyone. And when the Messiah comes, and I know he will, I'll be the first to cheer on his army as they kick out the Romans. But until he does come, I'll keep my head down and mind my own business. I'll leave the Romans alone and hope they'll leave me alone. That way, no harm could possibly come to anyone, could it? This year, like every year, We've come to Jerusalem for the Passover, us and most of the rest of Galilee. I love it and hate it all at the same time. I love the excitement and the expectation. I hate the smell and the jostling. I love the togetherness of all of us in the same place for the same reason. I hate the fights that erupt at a moment's notice. I love going to the temple to meet my God. I hate being pushed out of the way by those people who think they've a better right to be there than I have. I especially love that moment when all the crowds who have been travelling from north and south and east and west join together as we stream into Jerusalem. And as we go, we sing. We sing as though our hearts would burst within us. We sing the ancient tunes of the Psalms, voices of strangers mingling together, weaving us together as one, as we sing our way into the holy city, the city of God. One of my favourites of these Psalms has always been the Song of Victory. O, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. When we pilgrims sing it, the sound of it ripples backwards and forwards down the long line of people. His steadfast love endures forever, endures forever, endures forever and ever and ever. This year, we started singing that psalm, my favourite psalm, just as we got to Bethany. The timing couldn't have been more perfect. It's a psalm all about a king who really existed. And when we sing this psalm, I love to imagine him, weary and bruised from battle, coming to Jerusalem, exhausted, but quietly triumphant, riding down the very road I'm on now, remembering the struggle and the battle and how he was nearly lost, but how the steadfast love of the Lord really does endure forever. And he was saved. And how the priests would stream out of the temple to greet him, singing, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And there would be joy and thanksgiving everywhere. One day we'll sing this for real when the Messiah, our King, comes. When he's driven the Romans out and there's peace and justice everywhere, then we'll sing this with all our might. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. I was thinking about that, as I always do on the way to Jerusalem, when two people brought a donkey and a man got on it. It was strange. Almost as though he'd expected it somehow. He rode it, just like I always imagined the king would have done, except that it was a donkey, and not that impressive. The crowd parted for a moment, and I recognised some of them around from the fish market back home. There was Peter and his brother, the quiet one. I think his name was Andrew. And Zebedee's boys, who'd upped and offed a few years ago, leaving their poor father to do all the work. I heard they'd gone off after one of those wannabe Messiah types. Then I saw a man, the man on the donkey himself. He should have looked ridiculous, but somehow he didn't. He looked, well, right. Kingly and gentle. Powerful and caring, all rolled into one. Just like I imagined steadfast love would look. Someone pushed a branch into my hand as we got close to the end of the psalm, and I found myself singing and waving my branch. Save us, Hosanna, save us! All around me, people were doing the same, singing directly to the man on the donkey, as though our very lives depended on it. Save us, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In that moment, it felt as though he really could. Save us, that is. He couldn't be the one, could he? No, of course not. The Romans are all around us. Look at them twitching for the merest chance to draw their swords. And in any case, he doesn't look the part. Not even approaching magnificent enough to be a prophet or a proper messiah. And the priests haven't come out of the temple to greet him. If it was him, they'd know, wouldn't they? Priests are trained to recognise the things of God. Priests, well, they would know if it really was the Messiah. They'd know and they'd tell us. And then we'd all know. No Messiah would leave it to chance, would they? I kept holding my branch just in case. Just in case the priest suddenly came out to him, to meet him, like they ought to. But nothing happened. No one came. And the moment went just as quickly as it had arrived. I let my branch fall to the ground, strangely disappointed. He wasn't anything like I'd hoped the Messiah would be. And yet I couldn't help thinking that if the Messiah comes, when the Messiah comes, wouldn't the world be so much better if instead of being magnificent and grand, powerful and splendid, that he was like this man, steadfast love in human form. We came to the end of the psalm, the final verse, echoing off the walls of the city. O, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Endures forever. Forever and ever and ever. Today is a big day. So let's try and imagine what it would have been like to be like Miriam and to be part of that crowd, making its way through the streets of Jerusalem. It's the day when everyone descends upon Jerusalem, making their annual pilgrimage to the temple to celebrate the start of the Passover festival. They're making their way from all the villages and towns spread across the land, crowding into narrow streets of the city from all sides, trying to get to where they're staying for that week, jostling each other about, crossing over in front of other people, making their way through the city streets. If you close your eyes and think about it, about all those people, the women, the men, the children, the animals, the food stalls, you can nearly feel and smell the crowd all around you. I imagine that if you've ever been to a concert or a big football game at Hampden, well, it might have felt a little bit like that, but even more crowded, because the streets around Hampden, they're pretty packed with houses as well. And the streets around Jerusalem, they're narrower. And their houses there, they don't have gardens. It's just right out your door and onto the street. And there would have been street vendors everywhere. Smells and noise. They're all trying to get somewhere, get themselves settled before they head to the temple. And the temple, well, it's right in the middle of the city, up high. But the streets are so enclosed that you can't always see it, even though you know it's there. And what about the noise? Mothers trying to control their children who are so excited that they're finding it hard to contain themselves. People shouting hellos to each other across the crowded streets. And possibly Roman guards wandering around, attempting to create some sort of order, making sure that nothing untoward happens on this crazy of days within the city. After all, their governor is arriving in the city today as well. Pilate's on his way. When suddenly, behind you, the crowd seemed to be chanting the same words over and over again and again. What on earth is going on? Your stomach, it does that little flip thing and you begin to hold on tighter to your family members. The last thing you want is to get lost and separated from everyone else in a crowd this size and a city this busy. But then the singing washes over you in waves of what feels like joy and happiness. I imagine it would be a little like how it feels when you're in that crowd at a Scotland game and Flower of Scotland begins to ring all around you. Here they are, singing the Psalms, the Psalm that we've heard this morning in our reading. It's a victory song, Psalm 118. It's a song about a king. It's a song about the Messiah. Wait, what? The Messiah is here. Actually, here, in the city. Where is he? So you look to see where the rest of the crowd are looking, and not too far behind you, you notice that the crowd seem to be moving to each side of the street, making way in the middle of the road for what appears to be, what, is that really a donkey's on? It's not even a donkey, it's a colt. A donkey in a story at last, eh? Is that the man they call Jesus of Nazareth? You've heard about him. He was the one going round all the towns and villages, telling all those strange stories, healing people, helping the poor. And hadn't there been some rumours lately that he had raised someone from death? Yeah, it was his friend, Lazarus. I'm sure that's what I heard. But why on earth would he have chosen a colt? Surely there was something better for the Messiah to enter into the city upon. But there's a really good reason for that donkey. You see, the prophets of old had said that the king was coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Zechariah had been given explicit instructions by God of how the king would arrive to save all of Israel, and that he would enter riding on a colt. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's what we see in Zechariah chapter 9. So maybe we can understand why the people around would have recognised this arrival. The scriptures of Zechariah would have been well known to all of them. Here they see the Messiah, the King of the Jews, arriving as prophesied, coming to surely bring victory and freedom and peace into their lives at last. We can perhaps understand why everyone around, when they saw Jesus arriving on that colt, began to realise that this could be exactly what they'd been waiting for. They'd been hearing about his ministry to the people all around the towns and villages, and here he was, coming into Jerusalem, just like the prophets had said. Hosanna, rescue us. In Hebrew, it literally means, please save us. Thanks be to God, for he is good. His love endures forever. But at the same time, on the opposite side of the city, there was another procession happening. Pilate, the Roman governor, was making his way into the city. And you can bet he wasn't on a colt. And this would mean that there would have been a lot more soldiers kicking about than normal. Extra troops called in to keep the crowds calm as they made their way in for the Passover festival. Extra troops who may have been part of the governor's procession. I wonder if some of the crowd who were seeing the jubilation at the entry of Jesus on the colt were maybe not quite as happy as the rest were. Could there have been some soldiers around, some scribes and elders dotted about? And for them, this ride on the back of a donkey and the crowd's reaction to it, well, I doubt it would have been good news. I mean, if the crowd are correct and this is the Messiah, what will happen to them? If Jesus is in charge, then they won't be. If Jesus is the king, then the people will praise him and not them. For some, the sight would have been deeply threatening. The religious leaders have all opposed Jesus from the very start of his ministry. They've had 3 long years of putting up with him. And now, well, now everyone around seems to be convinced that he is indeed God's promised, all-powerful, all-perfect king. They need to crush his popularity. They need to get rid of him once and for all. They really don't like Jesus. His arrival is not a welcome sight for them. What happens if he gets even more popular? The people will stop listening to this. They will lose total power and control. They just can't have that. The arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem in this way, it threatened their power. And Jesus' love for people, it scared them. But even more, the people's adoration of Jesus, well, it terrified them. In a way, it would have been easier if Jesus had never raised Lazarus from the dead, had never got on that donkey, if he'd never claimed and proven that he was God's Messiah. But he did. And that's challenging. But at the same time, it's wonderful. There is a king. There is a kingdom. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to God, for he is good. His love endures forever. Unless, of course, the religious leaders get their way. And the king on the colt becomes the rebel on the cross, and then a corpse in a tomb.
Jesus is here. Savior. disciples, teaching the way of the cross. Jesus is here, giving his spirit, breathing new life into us. Jesus, you're the living promise. God has come among us, full of grace and truth. Savior, shining in the darkness, rescuing the helpless, making all things new. You are making all things new. You are making all things new.
God, we have remembered the day that you rode into town on a colt. We have remembered the people who rushed to sing your praises. We have remembered the sense of excitement that you were going to do something new and amazing. But we also remember that those same people soon changed their song from Hosanna to Crucify Him. We remember that a lot changed in those few days. We remember that you went willingly to the cross for them and for us. Jesus, we know that God sent you so that we might know God loves us. That God sent you to bring peace and healing to the whole of the world. That God sent you to show us a new way of living. Help us today to go out and share that message of love. Help us to bring healing to our broken world and peace to all the places where there is no peace today. Help us to keep on doing the work that Jesus began, to keep on carrying our cross so that all people might come to know love and peace and healing. We pray now in a moment of silence for the people and situations we know, the places and people where your love and peace and healing are needed today. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Help us to go and live them. Because in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus rode into the city amid cries of exultation. We too cry Hosanna as we race alongside the Son of God, eager to see where this journey will lead us. So may God go with us from this triumphant journey to the agony of the cross and beyond. In this Holy Week, our services take place at 7 p.m. There'll be a service on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday at St Ninian's. These will be shorter services, around about 20 to 25 minutes. And on Thursday, we join with our friends at Paterson United Free Church. That's also at 7 p.m. and we will celebrate communion. And on Friday at 7 p.m, we'll be back in St Ninian's for our Good Friday service. You're welcome to join us at all of these. On Easter morning, we will meet in Stonehouse Park, just at the pavilion, at 9:15 in the morning. There we will celebrate the resurrection. And then you're invited for breakfast at 10 a.m, at the church. It would be great to know if you're coming, so please drop us a message or leave a comment to let us know that you'll be there so we can cater for the right amount of people. And then at 11 a.m. we'll celebrate Easter Sunday as our community. We'll make some reflections available online, and the Good Friday service from St Ninian's will be recorded.